Well, happy Thursday to you, and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. So happy and thrilled and pleased and honored that you could be at the other end of the radio waves and also the telephone line if you would care to make a comment or pose a question to our panel today. The number 414-1234, if it's local for you, 800-926-8809, if it's long distance. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WFSU Perspective. Well, on Tuesday this week, and you probably heard this if you were listening to NPR or following any of the news on just about any of the outlets around, because so many, many millions of people were recalling the death last year of comedian Robin Williams. And his suicide, at least for a while, totally sparked a lot of discussion and exploration of why some people take their own lives and what, if anything, can be done to save those folks from literal self-destruction. And so this morning on Perspectives, not just because of that, but also because of a very critical upcoming local event, we wanted to revive that conversation with a focus on our own community and the ongoing efforts of some very dedicated folks to building awareness and help those who are directly impacted by suicide. As we mentioned right before Ronald J's newscast, the Robin Williams situation was only a prelude to a much larger discussion. But, you know, suicide knows no income, race, class, or age distinctions, and most of us know at least one personal acquaintance or family member or a friend of a friend who has died by his or her own hand. So this morning on Perspectives, we'll talk about suicide and what are the factors that can lead up to that most irrevocable of actions, maybe some preventive strategies along the way, and the responses of family and friends both before and after suicide. And we'll tell you about that event I mentioned. So let's meet our panel right now. First, we will say hi to a lady with whom all of this would not have been possible, Ms. Nancy O'Farrell, who is with NAMI Tallahassee. You are second vice president, I think you said?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And I want to find out all we can about NAMI and what kinds of services you offer and all of that. But thank you again for organizing this and for coming in this morning, okay?
Oh, we're delighted to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Right next door, Miss Brenda Robles. 15 years of Lee's Place over on Lake Ella.
That's correct. We've been there a good while.
And you're providing all kinds of services, too, to help families that are impacted and affected by this situation.
Correct. We're a therapy center. We provide therapy for any type of loss or trauma. So we do see often suicide survivors. Yes, we do.
All right. As someone of long acquaintance to us and no stranger to these microphones, Pam Messina, Big Bend Hospice. Pam, so good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you on. And we also want to say hi to Mary Bowers, whose daughter Brooke took her own life in January of 2012 at the age of 31.
Right, right. She sure did.
Oh, my gosh. About half of her life a struggle with mental illness, too, right, Mary?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we'll talk about those ramifications, too. Mary's also affiliated with NAMI Tallahassee, but let's talk, before we get into the overall discussion here, Nancy O'Farrell, if you could, about the upcoming event, which, of course, is a direct connection to Mary Bowers and her family. Tell us about that.
Correct. This is the Bluebird Run and Walk for Brookie B. Mary's daughter's name was Brooke, and affectionately referred to as Brookie B. This will be an event on Labor Day, September 7th, Monday, at the J.R. Alford Greenway, which is the very end of Pedrick Road off of Mahan. It's a beautiful county park, and we've got all kinds of wonderful people who have supported this effort. Huge shout out to our founding sponsors, Appalachie Center, Tallahassee Memorial, Capital Regional, Liebenhout Law, and the Tallahassee Democrat for in-kind contribution at the founding sponsor level, which is pretty awesome. To register, you would go to our website, www.bluebirdrun.com. Volunteer, run, form a team, donate, be a sponsor. Just send us a hey if you want to, but we are looking for lots of community support on this run.
And you don't have to be a member of Gulf Winds Track Club or anything to be part of that, right?
Absolutely not. They are providing the chip timing for the part of the race where real runners want to record their time. But there's also a fun run, a one-mile fun run that will go over the beautiful bridge in the park. And there's no cost for that unless you want a T-shirt. And, of course, we are going to have to charge for the T-shirts. But primarily we're trying to get people out. We're trying to raise awareness of suicide. September is Suicide Prevention Month. And we are trying to raise funds to bring training to Tallahassee for folks to support the survivors of suicide loss.
Now, this is also something that, Nancy, you gave me in the run-up to this program that just knocked me back on my rear. We've been talking about the increase in homicides in the Tallahassee-Leon County area, and it is appalling and it's terrible, and that's a totally separate discussion. But that number is exceeded by the number of suicides.
Yes, by kind of an alarming rate. In 2014, officially, there were 17 homicides in Leon County. But also officially, there were 29 suicides. And that's just the ones that were officially deemed suicides. We all know in this kind of small world that deals with mental health that there are suicides that appear to be something else. But they really are suicides, but not officially. People who run their cars into bridge abutments and that sort of thing. I mean, who knows if that's an accident or a suicide. But the official number is 29 in Leon County. And we'd like to get that number down to zero.
Well, it's not something that a lot of folks want to talk about. And Mary Bowers, why did you go public with all this? It's to lose a child is the most painful of all things if you have not been through it. I luckily have not, but I know so many people who have, and it is the most devastating pain on the face of the planet. Why go public with this?
Well, you know, I had become involved in NAMI before Brooke had passed away. So I learned a lot about depression and suicidal behavior, you know, and I knew after back in high school when Brooke's boyfriend had killed himself. So I learned, too, back then, as well as through NAMI, about how devastating suicide can be. So then, you know, after Brooke passed away, I learned more even about suicide, and particularly postvention. So that was one of my goals for 3 years now, is to bring the voice of postvention, you know, to the Tallahassee community so we could help those survivors and prevent more suicides.
Well, that let's talk about that if we could, Brenda, the prevention, because people will tell families in which someone has committed suicide, oh, you couldn't have done anything to prevent it, yet the undertone is totally different.
Correct.
They're saying you could have done something to stop it. Why didn't you?
Well, the other part of that is any parent who loses a child automatically feels like they should have been able to do something. That just kind of goes with losing a child. When you lose a child to suicide, that explodes, that feeling of helplessness, and I should have been able to do something more. It's just devastating, of course, as you know. So what we try to do is try to walk them through some of that, and some of it is just acknowledging how helpless they felt and how devastating it is, and to say those things out loud. It can be a healing process.
Yeah, but it's got to be one of the toughest healing processes, again, because you're second-guessing constantly.
Absolutely.
What if, what if, what if, what if?
Exactly. There are a lot of what ifs. One of the other things that comes up is there are so many questions, unanswered questions, for especially a parent of a child that commits suicide, so many unanswered questions. And so I actually help them get answers to as many as they can. The ultimate question, why, is often very unanswerable to the person who's lost someone. But that's part of the process, too, is answering as many questions as possible.
Well, Pam Mazzina, can you unpack that? Can you deconstruct that onion to come up with the ultimate question, why?
You know, I think that people underestimate how complex an issue suicide loss is. And many of us experience it, like you were saying, on a national level, trying to figure out how could somebody like Robin Williams, who was so bright and funny and wealthy and gave so much, end his own life. And we see that on a community level when we have people well-known in the community who end their lives. And the community is left behind saying, how could that happen? Mm-hmm. You know, they were wonderful. They were giving. They were just so bright. And we see it on the individual level. You know, we talked about, I know for Big Bend Hospice, our 8-county area has had 50 suicides. And they say that there's an estimated 6 survivors for every person that takes their own life. So that's 300 individuals just this in 2014 that are struggling in the aftermath of those questions. And the answers sometimes have a solution, but I think part of the challenge is to help survivors understand that there are going to be some questions that will always remain questions, and to live with the ambivalence of such powerful, conflicting emotions that are going to be like waves of grief and trauma probably for a long time. And also, I think the message that's important is that there is healing to be had and resources to be had in our community and at a national level.
And that's
to
something
give a sense of hope.
We certainly want to talk about as many of those on the local level as we possibly can for folks who are dealing with that situation now, Pam. And we're going to get into that discussion here on the other side of the break that is rapidly up and coming. In case you're just joining us, this is Perspectives on WFSU-FM. And today we're talking about suicide, and not just that, but also an event called the Bluebird Run and Walk for Brookie B that's going to be taking place on Monday, Labor Day, September 7th. We'll tell you more about that. In the meantime, if you'd like to join the conversation, please do at 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809, long distance, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. So glad you could be part of the discussion. Have you been impacted by suicide? Somebody that you knew personally, or the friend of a friend, a family member, either close to you or far away? Would love to hear your story, too. And please share that, if you would, at 414-1234. Well, from Mary Bauer, since your daughter, Brooke, 31, she was. January of 2012, she took her own life. You said her boyfriend had killed himself 2 years before. Was that a connection? Was that a prelude? Do you have any idea what happened there?
You know, it's a complex situation. So she did have other types of triggers, other types of trauma in her life. I'm sure, you know, that's when it really all started. But there were other things going on, some successes that turned into failures, you know, eating disorders, psychosis, you know, PTSD types of illnesses. So there was a lot going on. It took her, she did graduate from high school because this is when she was 16. You know, she could have had a full ride to the University of Wisconsin, but, I mean, honestly, she couldn't even fill out the scholarship papers, you know. She got to be so bad. But she did it. Took her 7 years then to finish college because she was in and out of the hospital a lot. So, you know, we understand the healthcare system in Tallahassee. She touched many, many providers here in town. So she really tried. She really tried to get better. She always thought that she could do it. But, you know, I think it was after that long and not having a job, she couldn't hold a job. It just got to be too much for her, I think.
Do you think in it's impossible, of course, to speculate, to get inside someone else's head, but in her way of thinking, do you believe that this there was a logic behind this?
Well, you know, honestly, yes. I mean, she had talked about suicide for a long time. She and I could openly communicate with, you know, about it, and I could say, you feel like you need to go to the hospital? No, 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 I'm okay, Mom. And the next time it could be, do you feel like you need to go to the hospital? Yeah, maybe. Okay, go pack your bags, and we would take her down. So it got to be to the point where I could understand the pain that she was feeling. I saw it oftentimes. She made statements, you know, if she ended up in the hospital, she would say, we'd say, well, what's going on this time? Well, you know, maybe I went to an AA meeting and there's all this talk about God, and then she was out wandering around at a church out in the middle of the country, you know, things like that would kick in. You know, she would say, one thing I know for sure, I'm never going to, when I die, I'm not going to be drinking because I want people to know that it was my decision, that I really wanted to die that way. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, communication could maybe have been better with the two of us. But, you know, I talked to her a couple hours before she died, asked her how she was doing, should I come home? And she was, you know, saying, no, that's okay. I'm going to be all right. No, no, no. You know, so you could. It kind of makes sense when you hear people talk about it, but yet they really don't understand at that moment that there is hope. And if you could hang on just a little bit longer, mm-hmm. I could help you find it, you know.
Uh-huh. And Nancy O'Farrell, it sounds like Mary did everything right.
I don't know about that word right. Mary and the rest of the family did everything. I mean, they knew the resources. They did everything they could to help Brooke. Yes, they did everything right. I mean, sometimes, I guess, I'm not really qualified to talk about this, but sometimes things happen no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. And this whole event and plan and bringing together the community is to support the folks left behind, because statistics show that their risk of suicide then skyrockets after having been through this. And what we call postvention, which is the support of the survivors after the fact, turns into prevention. You know, you can't prove a negative, but statistics indicate that you are preventing future suicides by supporting people who are suffering this terrible loss. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and we're all about hope and telling people that recovery is possible. Mary is our dear, treasured friend and member, and this is important to her, and it has become important to us. We're trying to raise the money to support the training for the community, and these two ladies, Pam with Big Bend Hospice and Brenda with Lee's Place, will be at the core of this effort going forward. The bereavement support community is where it all begins.
Well, we're also inviting our listeners to share their experiences and thoughts here at 414-1234. And on line one, Philip has something to share. Hi, Philip. Thanks for calling. Hey, Philip.
I appreciate your program on suicide. It's just definitely something that needs to be brought up in Leon County. About 15 years ago, myself, Barbara Benda, a bunch of people decided to go to the hospital, TMH, and start a group, which today is called Depression Bipolar Support Alliance. About 5 years ago, we lost someone to suicide. She had broken up with her boyfriend. She'd been the victim of child abuse, had a whole variety of problems. I think the hardest thing to understand was she was happy. You know, she was acting extremely, you know, like, you know, it's okay. And then every Monday after the support group, we'd all go out to dinner and sit around a big table and talk. And she seemed just fine. Then when I got the news that she committed suicide, I mean, it was horrible. You know, everyone in the support group was hit hard. Mm-hmm. We had Big Ben Hospice come out and tell us about their support group for those that have committed suicide, which was a great help. And some of us went to those meetings because we needed to go through the healing process. So thank you, Big Ben Hospice, for showing up.
Thank you, Philip.
I think in suicide, it's as you're saying, there's always the what if. You know, had I known something?
And the fact that you had an entire group there to provide some kind of support and all that, Philip.
Yes, we had about 10 or 15 strong people. And then when the group was over on Mondays, you know, we all go out and out to eat. And it was difficult because many people with bipolar disorder, she had the signs of suicide, you don't know. Because you don't know, you know, exactly her mental state when she's going back home. And it was a shock to all of us. And we swore at that time that we would make sure everybody had a phone number from the support group, that if you got that bad, you would call your friend from the support group and saying, I'm having a bad day. And then it would be a bridge. And it did work out quite well in the support group that way.
Let's talk about that, if you would, Pam Messina, the fact that Big Ben Hospice was there to at least kind of coordinate some of those responses and help these guys.
Well, Philip, thank you so much for calling in to share your story. I think it goes to show that, you know, when you lose somebody by suicide, sometimes you didn't expect it. And people have a way of showing the good on the outside and that mask that everything's okay. But underneath, many people who take their own lives do suffer from depression or bipolar disorder. And other circumstances that become risk factors and cause people to make the decision to end their own life. We do have a monthly suicide loss group at Big Ben Hospice. And, you know, people like Philip and the friends that he brought and anybody that is in our community that's lost someone can come to meet other folks that understand the complexity of this. And, you know, just to see how much relief people get from looking around a table and hearing similar stories and to know that they get it and that they are being heard. And I think it's hard for survivors because often not only do people not know what to say to them, they are avoided. And so to suffer a tremendous loss like a suicide and then to have friends and sometimes faith communities and, you know, colleagues turn away are just additional losses that people have to deal with. And so to be part of a group and know that there's resources and grief education and advocacy opportunities can be very healing for individuals and for families and for groups like Philip's talking about. And to find ways to carry on the memory of that person, because you're always going to remember Barbara, you know, and she made a difference in many lives, as did Robin Williams, as did Brookie B. You know, these people are remembered and will always be carried in our hearts.
Philip, if you're still there, how would someone hook up with the Depression Support Alliance group? Do you guys have a Facebook page or email address or what? He must be off the line then. Well, let's talk, if we could then, Brenda, as far as Lee's Place is concerned on that, some of the support and hopefully recovery help that you guys can provide to families who have been through this.
Well, we really provide one-on-one therapy or family therapy. We don't run a support group for suicide. We have on occasion, but Big Bend Hospice is the place to go. They're free, and they have it ongoing. What we do is therapy. So people come in one-on-one, and we do it that way. And so we try to include their family members. Sometimes we'll bring in a spouse who doesn't understand his wife's grief over the mother that committed suicide that was elderly, for example. There's support that way that we do within Lee's Place. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. To differentiate the kinds of resources that are available here, I think that's a really important thing to do.
Right, right. So, and I agree with everything that Pam said. This is such a complex issue, and we do not have the answers. Right. You know, people want to know, how do I prevent my friend from committing suicide? It's such a horrendous thing, and it's such a giant responsibility as a friend. And I'm sure they all felt like friends in that group. And sometimes you just can't. I mean, you love them while you got them. You give them hope. You listen. You connect. You acknowledge their pain. You give them possibilities for ways to get help. And then that's it. There it is. You can't save everyone.
Yeah, you can't take this.
It's so frustrating.
This mantle of responsibility that,
yes.
Like, you know, if Philip and his group said, we lost Barbara, it
right.
was our fault
right.
that this happened.
Right. We didn't see something. We should have done something else. I hear that all the time.
I think another important thing, though, is to let people know that there are resources. You know, the National Suicide Prevention Helpline number is 1-800-273-TALK. And if anybody has questions about helping a friend, if anybody has feelings that they might be thinking about harming themselves, I would encourage them just to call that number. We have a Florida Suicide Prevention Coalition that has wonderful resources on the web that people can call and get help and about talking to people who might be suicidal, about living with loss after, statistics. You know, there are places for folks to get help.
211 Big Bend, I'm thinking that too.
211 Big Bend actually is the funnel for the National Hotline for Suicide Prevention, and they do wonderful work and occasionally do trainings and presentations on suicide prevention as well. They are just a treasure in our community.
Lines are filling up. Let's go to Eric on line two. He's next in line here on Perspectives. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
Real fine. Thanks for calling.
I have to say to Brenda, she was my therapist at Lee's Place. After the death of both my wife and my stepfather, within 6 weeks of each other, they both committed suicide. And about 2 years ago, it'll be 2 years this September.
Oh, condolences, Eric. What helped in your case?
We actually, ironically, I had my stepfather had committed suicide. August 5th was 2 years. And right after that, my wife had attempted suicide several times. They were both suffering from depression for several years. And after she made another attempt, my daughter, who was 12, she was 11 at the time, found out about it. I couldn't hide it from her anymore. My kids were not aware of it. And so I wanted to take steps to help her out with the eventuality that she might lose her mother. And so I, upon advice from a guidance counselor at school, I got her into Lee's Place. Ironically, the day that she was supposed to go in there, her first appointment. My wife had taken off. She had tried suicide several times at the house, and I had managed to get to her in time both times. And this last time, she had taken off in her car and gone somewhere where I couldn't stop her. And they found her. She was still alive. She had overdosed, and she did die a few days later. But it was, ironically, it was my daughter's birthday the day that we found her, which was the day after she had taken her life. And that was also her first appointment at Lee's Place, which we both went to. And it helped us out both a lot. My daughter was resistant to the sessions at first, but I think she grudgingly admits that it did help her. And it helped me out a lot, too, because I had a lot of guilt, both over my wife's death and then, what I could have done to prevent it. And, Brenda, you were so helpful.
Well, thank you, Eric. You're a brave soul here.
You sure are, Eric. I really appreciate your sharing that and the pain that still remains. And all the best to you and thinking of you, man. Thank you so much for calling. We're talking about suicide prevention, and the response when that occurs. If you have any thoughts to share or personal story perhaps to relay, please give us a call, 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 from NAMI Tallahassee, Nancy O'Farrell and Mary Bowers. We have Brenda Rabelais from Lee's Place and Pam Messina, Big Bend Hospice. We'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives and talking about suicide, not only in the wake of the first anniversary of the death of comedian Robin Williams this past Tuesday, but also the incredible, devastating impact that this has on a local level, but the hope that also is there, the resources that are available, particularly for those who remain behind when this happens. And Nancy O'Farrell, that is what this entire Bluebird Run and Walk for Brookie B coming up on Labor Day is all about.
Correct. And I think Mary can talk about this better than I can, but there is a gap in services. There are statistics that indicate that people who have some support amongst first responders, not treatment, but referral services, they're not ready to go talk to someone like Brenda yet. I mean, they're still just in too much pain. But there are some research that indicates that if they have support and they have referral and they have someone to talk to who's walked their walk, it cuts the time almost in half to where they're to the point where they seek counseling and seek support groups and that sort of thing. And this is a gap that Mary actually has brought to our attention because of her experience. So we're raising the money. We want to bring someone to town to maybe help us develop some lost folks that can perhaps travel with first responders or perhaps be there in the aftermath or whatever we can work out in our community to fill this gap. So what NAMI Tallahassee is doing is organizing this run, getting these sponsors, raising this money, and then getting what Pam and Brenda are doing to get the stakeholders together, do a needs assessment, find out where we best can spend these funds in the community.
Well, Mary Bowers, that almost sounds like I don't want to use the term SWAT team, but this instant response type of scenario in situations where the average EMT, although they are well-trained and they're compassionate and they're fantastic people, may not have the level of expertise to deal with this kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm sure they all, they do the best that they can. When they came to our house, there were multiple police people. They're going in and out. There were EMTs there going in and out. There was no one really who could answer your questions. You know, their goal, I think, was to make sure that I was okay, which I was. And they also were just collecting the facts, more or less. But what I really needed was just even a list of where are the resources. You know, what can I do? I was desperate. So it took me many months. I found Brenda. I found a therapist. I found Pam. I found Compassionate Friends. You know, but there was no reason why I had to really suffer alone all that time. If someone would have just been there, someone who looked like me, who had experienced the loss, who could just say, hey, I'm here if you need me. You know, if you don't know where to go, I'll help you. Just help me get connected. I think that would have made all the difference in the world.
And I think a lot of folks are thinking, if you have received a bill for even an ambulance run in recent years, that these expenses have to be very expensive. Pam Mazina, that is not the case with Big Bend Hospice, correct?
Big Bend Hospice is very blessed to have wonderful community support. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't know that we can provide free bereavement services because of community support, like Nancy's talking about. But because of that, we can provide services to children who have experienced the loss, whether that death was by suicide or other causes. We have monthly children and teen nights. We have a children's camp in the spring and a teen camp in the fall. We do provide up to 8 free individual counseling sessions for adults and children affected by suicide. I'm part of the Florida Suicide Prevention Coalition, so we're actually working with the local trauma-informed care work group, and we have a meeting scheduled for the 20th of this month at 12 to really begin to pull some of these providers together and people together so that we can come up with a plan and assess what we have available as far as resources. And also, like Mary's saying, where are the gaps so that anybody who needs anything related to mental health or related to suicide or bereavement knows where to go and who to call. And it's compassionate and it's personal. You know, it makes a big difference for me to say call Brenda at Lee's Place or call Nancy at NAMI Tallahassee or call Caitlin at Big Bend Hospice. You know, it really does make this a better journey. We need to give people compassionate and educated support and lead them to, you know, at Publix, they lead you down the aisle to the item you want. We need to do a better job, and I know we can all do a better job helping families and individuals navigate one of life's most devastating losses.
Well, it's like a suicide triage. It's exactly what happens with physical situations in the ER. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Brenda?
Yes, that's exactly what it's like. And it is, like I was talking with Mary the other day about, she couldn't remember some stuff. She couldn't remember where her daughter was when the police had come to her house and then her daughter was taken. I hope you don't mind if
this. It's the truth.
But you were talking about this the other day and she couldn't remember. And if you have a pamphlet of places to go, but I was telling Mary, I said, you can't remember anything in that moment. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that's going to go inside your head in those first few weeks at least. You are in a surreal world. It's like your mind has shut down to protect itself in a way. And so to have someone on the outside kind of walk you through some of these steps that we as the public tend not to think about. One is cleanup. There is, you know, this horrendous problem, and what do you do? And so to have a resource, for example, for that, or wills, or bank, all the logistics of life. When you are the survivor of a loved one who's died by suicide, you cannot, your mind just cannot think through all of that. So it's very helpful to have someone, like they were talking about, almost like a triage system, a someone who can walk you through that and provide you materials and resources.
Yeah, but also the coordination of these resources, too, so that
correct.
Lee's Place has an area of specialty. Big Bend Hospice does this. NAMI Tallahassee,
exactly.
All that. It's a terrific idea. And that's coming up on the 20th, then. You guys are going to be kind of reconnoitering and figuring this out.
We're going to be having that at 12 o'clock at Disc Village.
Disc Village.
And anybody that's interested can give me a call.
Okay. And the person who just talked to you guys is Pam Messina of Big Bend Hospice, so give her a yell on that. Beth has been patiently hanging on line one. Thank you so much, Beth. Welcome to Perspectives. Hello, Beth.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks to everyone for the wonderful work they do. And I have a family member that has treatment-resistant depression and, you know, has suicidal thoughts. And I guess my question is in the area, it's so complicated trying to kind of find treat professionals that, I mean, it's like you can go to your insurance company and you can see, oh, there's all these psychiatrists, there's all these counselors, but you know, you can't find out sort of their approach and what they specialize in and, you know, and also the cost and risks of the different treatments. I mean, medication's one thing and that there's kind of an art to that. And then there's, you know, more serious things like electronic convulsive ECT. And but, you know, it's like very hard to understand what the costs and benefits are and to kind of find the right professional. And I wondered, are there resources that sort of compile this? I mean, obviously word of mouth is great, but sometimes that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you go to the Yellow Pages, which very few people have anymore with the demise of landline telephony, but you go into physicians and it doesn't have suicide practitioners. It's not there. So for Beth, what do you guys think?
Well, I think she's naming a problem that it absolutely does exist. And in a sense, you can't know. It's kind of like finding the right dentist. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm putting it in another world, if you will, but it is true. You have to connect with that person. And so, you know, a first course of action would be to go to your insurance, who will pay, and then friends is that's the best resource. Who has been to this person? What do they do? And you don't have, as a layperson, you don't need to understand the types of therapy that they do. You just start asking for help, and then you start developing a relationship with that person. And if that person doesn't fit well with you, then I'd go to another one.
Yeah, but, I mean, is there your best initial course of action Angie's List? Or, I mean, how do you determine who specializes in this?
I think I would leave Angie's List out of this
one.
Yeah, and maybe call 211 Big Bend instead.
Yes, very good.
Then, like Brenda's saying, you know, perhaps if there's people in a NAMI group, to be able to ask some of those folks that you trust and see what their reaction is. And again, there's no one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you have a good list of questions, what your goals are, and the therapist should be able to answer them.
Mm-hmm. And Mary Bowers, besides your involvement with NAMI Tallahassee and the help that you're providing to folks who have been through similar situations, mm-hmm. what for you has been the biggest help?
Well, I tell you, it's these three people sitting at the table. That's why, you know, we invited Pam and Brenda to come. I can say Brenda saved my life. I can say the Survivors of Suicide Loss Support Group are the people who understood and they gave me hope. And then I think now, I mean, I've been I feel like I can give back to them sometimes, too. If there's a mother there who recently lost her daughter to suicide, you know, I can talk to her maybe just a little bit afterwards. And I think it really does help. So, you know, the problem, I think, is that only one in four of us suicide survivors actually seek help.
That's true.
I was the one exception, you know, and it's because I've been in public health. I used to work for a psychiatrist, so I was out there digging around. I mean, as a survivor, you are afraid that you might kill yourself, just like I was afraid that Brooke would kill herself when she survived her boyfriend's death. So you're just desperate to hang on. So we really need other survivors in Tallahassee and all the community, really, to join together and say, how can we prevent those suicides? Getting to people sooner rather than later will save their life.
And busting down the stigma, because that still remains.
That's somehow the problem. This
is somebody's fault. We're gonna find a culprit if it's the last thing we do, and it's not that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yes, what we're really trying to do here is start this very important conversation and bring this out of the shadows and make it okay to talk about it, because talking is our best defense, is if we talk to each other and support each other. And, you know, NAMI Tallahassee offers, at no charge, programs for caregivers and loved ones of folks with severe and persistent mental illness or even without a diagnosis. And pretty much everyone who walks in the door to those classes is terrified that that loved one is going to try to complete suicide. That's the biggest fear. And you sit in a room with other people who have that same fear. And there are resources shared. And it's a wonderful program. But it's 12 weeks. And you need some help right now. So we have some gaps in our continuum of care for folks with these kinds of problems. There's no question about it. But at least we're talking about it.
And at least we're also being able to leverage, as you said, the folks who have, like Mary, been there, done that. The worst thing you can do is to go up to someone who is grieving in any capacity and say, I know just how you feel. No, you don't.
Right.
How dare you say that to me? You have not been through what I have been through.
But you know, Tom, that's what a lot of people will ask me. How do I talk to someone, my best friend whose child committed suicide or spouse committed suicide? What do I say to them? Because the person's being ignored in the grocery store. People turn their buggies and go the other way. It's the avoidance is deafening. It's so loud with that. So there isn't, I don't have a lot of answers about what you do say, but what you do is acknowledge, I am so sorry that your child died. My heart is with you. I'm thinking about you. You don't have to fix anything or cheer them up. That's another thing that people hate who are grieving, is for someone else to come cheer them up. It doesn't cheer them up. It feels like you don't notice me and what I'm going through. That's what that cheering up feels like.
It's very simple.
It's just touching them on the arm and saying, I'm thinking about you.
And I'm here.
I think it's okay to say, I don't know what to say.
Yes.
There are no words
that
I can use to say how sorry I am. And, you know, at some point to be able to share memories of their loved one. And I did want to go back to what you were talking about, the stigma. Around 6 years ago, we started an annual event called Lighting the Darkness, and it comes every year before Suicide Prevention Day at the Capitol. And one of the reasons we wanted to do that is so that at a community level, we could allow people an opportunity to remember lives lost to suicide and to begin the conversation that it's okay, and look at the rest of us. We've lived through a loss too. And we hope to continue that, you know, in the coming years. In January, Florida Suicide Prevention Day is January 14th. And anybody who's interested in, you know, talking to legislators, sharing their story. We have some survivors getting events ready. And then Lighting the Darkness will be the night before January 13th. So, again, these are all, you know, events that we're working together to try to raise awareness and have the conversation, whether it's with our families, teachers, faith communities, to let people know that we can discreetly – give people resources that might actually save a life or connect people with the help they need.
Or if you don't want to be so discreet, you can show up for the Bluebird Run and Walk for Brookie B.
Yes. We like that. Yes.
And that is coming up again when, Nancy?
It is Labor Day, September 7th, 7:30 in the morning. Come out to the J.R. Alford.
It's early birds.
That's right.
It's the only cool part of the day.
That's right.
You're trying to do it when it's cool. We have awesome sponsors, and we have promised them a big turnout. So please, folks, go online, www.bluebirdrun.com, and register.
Nancy O'Farrell, Brenda Rebley, Pam Mazzino, of course, Mary Byers, thank you so much for coming on Perspectives today. We appreciate it, and all the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Sawyer Vanderwart and Lydell Rawls back there. I'm Tom Flanagan. We'll catch you next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.